Right, thank you. I'm a soil fertility specialist at the University of Nebraska. Charles Shapiro also is a soil fertility specialist working in the same part of the state. We do a lot of collaboration, and there's synergy between our work, so they call us Charles Square, or sometimes C Square to shorten it. And Marty Schmier is with ARS, associated with the University of Nebraska, and has done quite a lot of work on crop residue removal. So your interest is specifically for effects on yield and nitrogen requirement. It's very important to us in the state because of our large beef industry. I think we have more cattle on feed than any other state. It's back and forth between Nebraska and Texas, but I think Nebraska's ahead right now. And we do have a large cow-calf sector. And an estimate, and we don't have good data to back this up, it's a, you know, personal observation and it's consensus amongst numerous people, but about 40% of the corn area has some residue harvest. And grazing of corn stalks is a big one through the fall and into early spring, primarily by the cows, the breeding stock. And with this, they are selective about what they take. Of course, the first thing is to drop ears and then the husk and then some of the rest of the plant, depending upon how far you push it. But commonly less than 40% of the crop residue removed. And there isn't much nutrient removal in the process. Actually, it helps to recycle the nutrients, and it cleans up the dropped ears, so we have less problem with volunteer corn the following year. And there's a long history of it. For instance, with land at my brother's farm, I would say it's 100 years that this has been going on, just a very established practice in that area without any indication of negative impact on the productivity of the land. Then baling of the residue is another issue or another harvest practice, and there we tend to have more removed, and the baling is primarily for feeding beef animals in feedlots. So we do have our concerns with crop residue removal. Of course, there is the nutrient removal. There are implications for erosion, for soil organic matter maintenance, water loss to increased evaporation is a big one, especially in the semi-arid part of the state. And these are issues that, you know, we address separately from the study. And the situation, the sustainability issues vary a lot with the field situations and the management. This is not a long-term study. There are other long-term studies under effect to look at those longer-term effects. And to address some of these issues, we do have our extension publication on harvest of crop residues, and especially on the erosion part, which is my biggest area of concern. I think it's does a good job of addressing that. This is a photo of a very bad crop residue harvest situation. It's from obviously, a dry land field, if you look at the plant density and the low number of bales out there. It's in the western part of the state where we don't get much rainfall. It's a rain-fed situation. I said that already. The soil is very erodible, both by wind and erosion. And yet we see that they've left very little out there. Now, this was 2012, which was a dry year, and people were very desperate for livestock feed. And so I wouldn't say this is necessarily the typical practice of this farmer, but it is not a good situation. And it has implications for the next year's crop because a lot of water loss is likely to be lost, likely to occur as compared to if the crop residue had remained. A much better situation is with this photo, where it is an irrigated situation. This operator does have a 10,000 head feedlot. They harvest the corn high moisture, so it comes off early. They open up the canopy early. And they're very cautious about the harvest. They leave standing stalks as well as in raking and harvesting the residue. This was in the Platte River Valley of Nebraska, and their main concern was wind erosion. So in addition to these practices, I don't know if you can see it, but they have a rye cover crop established. There's not much biomass out there yet. It was winter sown, or it was aerial sown August 15th, and this photo was taken around November 15th. But even with a small amount of biomass and low plant density, it is enough to help give protection against wind erosion. So I consider this a very good scenario. So if we remove and for a no-till corn after corn situation, irrigate it, how does the need for applied nitrogen change with residue removal? And there has been other work on this in recent years, but we already give credit to soybean as the previous crop, typically 45, 50 kilos of nitrogen as compared to corn after corn. And we attribute this largely to reduced immobilization by crop residues. There have been claims by some, especially with the cellulosic bioenergy, in the cellulosic bioenergy area, that we can give a similar credit for corn after corn if we remove crop residue. Now, there have been some recent results reported, and they indicate that we should be able to reduce the nitrogen rate by somewhere between 0 and 40 kilos per hectare due to removal of crop residue with corn after corn. And what about effects on corn yield? Well, for semi-arid conditions, we expect that on average we'll have a loss if we do not irrigate because of that water loss. But in a review of 239 site years of study, the average yield increase with removal was 3%. That included tilled situations, primarily tilled situations, and mostly from the Corn Belt, a few no-till situations. More specifically for no-till, in one study, the effect on yield was a 7.5 to 8.6 yield increase due to removal. So this was a very straightforward study, specifically for irrigated no-till corn after corn. So maybe the worst case scenario as far as buildup of crop residue, to determine the effect of crop residue removal on subsequent yield as well as nitrogen rate. We had three locations. Haskell Lab is located in northeast Nebraska. The University of Nebraska Agriculture Research and Development Center is located about 35 miles northeast of Lincoln. Each site, and we had two sites there, each site had either silty clay or loam or silt loam soil and greater than 3% organic matter. And we conducted the trials in 2013 and 2014. 2013 was the second year of corn in sequence, of continuous corn. 2014 was the third year, so we kept the same plots. It was a split plot design with 75% removal as one of the main plot treatments and 0% removal as the other. And we had a nitrogen ramp of five levels and four replications. We looked at reflectance, canopy reflectance, using both the normalized difference vegetative index as well as the normalized difference red edge index. And if we look at the results, we generally see that there are higher values on average across the sites for removal as compared to no removal. And we see that the differences are greater in 2014, that is with the third crop as compared to the second crop in the sequence. This is telling us that the crop was getting more nitrogen where crop residue had been removed, implying less immobilization of the applied nitrogen, and possibly more mineralization, I should say, because by taking off some crop residue, it likely warmed up the soil enough to increase mineralization. We saw increased uptake at harvest, or at physiological maturity, I should say, with removal. So on average, again, across the locations. And we saw a bigger difference in 2014 as compared to 2013. So both for nitrogen uptake as well as nitrogen recovery efficiency. The recovery efficiencies were a bit low and disappointing. Normally, we expect to get considerably higher recoveries, but for whatever reasons, and we can't explain very well, our responses to nitrogen were not as great as we expected in these trials. Effects on residual soil nitrate were not very great. The levels were not high after harvest, 3.2 and 3.4 parts per million for no removal and removal, respectively. And even with a high-end treatment, the average to 1.2 to meter depth was 4.8 parts per million. So some yield results. In the following figures, the what appears orange here is are the lines for 2013. The blue lines are for 2014. The solid lines are for removal. The dashed lines are for no removal. At this location, we do not see great differences. There is a significant response to nitrogen in each case, but there's not much difference. On average, though, combined across the 2 years, there was a significant yield increase with removal. And there are some R-square values here, which range from 0.1 to 0.62. These were determined on using plot values, not treatment means. 3 minutes, okay. In this figure, we see a very big dramatic effect in 2014. Not so much in 2013, but both an effect on the nature to nitrogen response as well as the yield. And at the Haskell lab in northeast Nebraska, we see something similar. And each year there's that big sizable yield advantage with residue removal, but it's especially great in that third crop of the sequence. And again, better nitrogen use efficiency with removal. We were not able to estimate the economically optimal end rates because too often we had linear effects. We had not reached the curve or could not estimate the plateau. But it looks like we need somewhere between 9 to 25 kilos nitrogen less to achieve our economically optimal end rate. Unfortunately, we cannot predict that well pre-plant. And to take advantage of it, we probably have to do in-season application based on crop assessments using sensor-guided application or some other means. So we do expect a yield increase. So overall, it was a 20% yield increase due to residue removal. We expect more effect in the third year in sequence than the second year. Generally, better uptake of nitrogen throughout the season with nitrogen recovery. We should be able to get by with a little bit less nitrogen applied. Unfortunately, this is not well predicted how much we can reduce the nitrogen rate, and we probably have to rely on the side dress application to take advantage of this. It does enhance the potential of doing no-till continuous irrigated corn. And I guess my brother could have told me that from the beginning because he's been doing it for years. And the full paper, more details are available at Agronomy Journal First Look. Thank you.